B-Pod Studios.
What's up? It's Boston's most listened to afternoon radio program. Vulgar and Mass.
You need a little bit of fat in there for flavor.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, it's the final hour of Vulgar and Mass on Friday, August 12th. Being an agenda-free Friday, agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. I am remote. Murray is at our Beasley Media Group location in Dorchester. Like, we're moving tomorrow, right? Like, everything moving over the weekend?
These next few days, I believe, yeah. They say, according to the email and the powers that be, our first show in the new building is supposed to be next Thursday, Mike.
I thought it was Wednesday.
Well, now it's been pushed to Thursday.
I heard Wednesday.
It's now been pushed to Thursday.
All right. Well, be that as it may. Murray, like, there's nothing there but moving crates, and somehow Murray has a microphone and a camera. So he's at Dorchester, and he pulled a very savvy move. He was late coming, or couldn't make it to Needham in time. The traffic was just brutal. So he bailed out, got to Dorchester first, and doing the show. A lot of respect for that move, Murray.
I'm the anti-Heim Bloom. I don't know how I can travel. I really couldn't get there. You find a way.
I couldn't get to Houston the way the flights were. I couldn't get to Houston. Like, have you ever heard of such a thing from a grown man? A grown-ass man with a expense account? Like, he doesn't even have to pay for it. And he says, find the most expensive. Get your ass to Houston. Anyway, so Murray got his ass to the show. He's in Dorchester. McCarthy's in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Temporary version in Needham. I am remote. We're brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, both on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast, as promised, right to your phones. And it's agenda-free, so everything's on the table. Carl in Grafton on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Carl.
Felger, Murray, I got a dig for McTakey. I've been listening to him all season talk about what an embarrassment the Red Sox are. And they get the Yankees, who are, what, 2-8 in their last 10 games. I think that the Yankees are due for some get right, and I want to know what he thinks about it because the Yankees could bury him. I'll hang up and hear what you guys have to say. Thanks.
What, the Yankees are going to bury them? But go ahead, McTakey, go ahead.
Yeah, the Red Sox have buried themselves this year. Heim Bloom has buried the Red Sox this year. That being said, the Yankees have not played good baseball recently. I'm not surprised by this. I didn't think they were as good as they showed in the first half. The thing that I'm not here to do Yankee talk, though. I'm here to talk about the Red Sox. And the fact that the Red Sox are out of this on August 12th, and they're, you know, essentially the season is over, is just so inexcusable. It's so indefensible. This should be a big weekend. This should be a big weekend series. The Red Sox should have something to play for, and they don't. They don't because the general manager doesn't give a damn about the present, didn't give a damn about the 2022 Red Sox. It's all about the future. It's all about kicking the can down the road. He doesn't care about winning. He cares about value and opportunity. He doesn't care about winning baseball games. He cares about winning trades, which is why Christian Vasquez is gone, but Eric Hosmer's here and Tommy Pham is here, and you don't have bullpen help. It's so frustrating. As a Red Sox fan, this weekend should mean something. This season should mean something. And I'm going to have to sit here and watch these games in August and September that probably aren't going to matter. And that's inexcusable and indefensible in his third year on the job. The Red Sox should be right in this thing, and they're not. That sucks.
I'll be curious to see what the stands are like for this series. I got to imagine, because look,
all Yankee fans.
Yeah, because I mentioned it to you, Mike, I think during a commercial break, those two Braves games, it was like Braves home games. Yeah.
Oh, get ready for a lot of gold chains out there tonight, folks. Yeah. They're coming. Here's Chris in Salem on the Patriots. Go ahead, Chris.
Mike, at this point, I think that Bill brought in frickin' Frack with a plan in his head, and he tried to implement the plan. Plan didn't work, and now he's saying, don't bother asking me, because he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's going to do at this point. He's lost.
I don't agree with that. I think he has an idea in his mind. I think he's late to it. I think he's been lazy with it. Like, I'll figure it out. I don't like the idea, but he has one. He doesn't like being questioned. He does, and he gets more defensive and bitchy by the day, it feels like. The thing last night was just so, what's the word I'm looking for? Bitchy. It's just
petulant, defensive.
Yes, defensive, definitely. I mean, he just doesn't like being questioned. He doesn't like being challenged. I don't care how many times insiders, and like I said, with all the love and respect in my heart, like Mike Holley, who spent a year inside the walls and wrote a book about it, or other people who's have been inside the walls I don't care how many times those people tell me he likes to be challenged, he wants to be pushed. I don't believe it. I think Bill puts it on for the outsiders who happen to be in there at the time to make it look like he wants to be pushed. I don't think I've seen no indication of it from the outside. You know, sitting from the outside, I don't see it. He certainly, and maybe this is a different category, but he has no patience for it from the likes of us. No way, man. And last night was just another indication. Alan in Florida. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Mike. I hope now you might realize a little error of your ways. Oh, they're going to be in it. Yeah, they're in it, all right. You know, don't forget they beat Houston 4 out of 6. So in your scenario, that means, you know, they should be able to play with Houston. This team, as you know, as McCarthy said, this Chaim Bloom, is, you know, not only is he a disgrace, the prospects they're getting back are not even number one top prospects. I mean, look at the pitches. The farm system, everyone now, oh, that's the new thing, they're loaded. The farm system stinks, the team stinks, and they're going to be a lot worse next year without Bogaerts and without J.D. Martinez. I mean, I don't know where this team is going. It's an the only team, honestly, and I'm not trying to rub it in, is as stupid as them, are your Brewers who trade away. I know Hader has how do you trade away your closer? I know he's having a rough period right now, but still, you know, they're going to not make the playoffs either, the two of them. But anyway, well, I'm only concerned.
Well, let me stop you. McCarthy, you want to jump in there? Is he singing your song?
Of course he's singing my song, and frankly, I do think the farm system is a little bit overrated, and I don't want to, you know, poo-poo the importance of a farm system because it is important, but they don't have a truly elite farm system. They have a much deeper farm system than they once did, but how many guys do they have down there that are truly elite? I see 2 to 2.5 that I really, really like, and that's Casas, and that's Mayer, and that's Bayo, maybe. Other than that, they're deeper than they once were, which is fantastic. But how many Josh Winkowskis can you really have? And how many Josh Winkowskis make you an elite World Series winning team? So, yeah, I do think the farm system is a little bit overrated. I do agree with that sentiment.
Okay, folks, whatever you want. It's agenda free, as just evidenced by that segment. We can do some Sox if you want in advance of Red Sox Yankees. 617-779-0985. Open lines. You can grab them. We'll talk to you right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Let me tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Really quickly, just to follow up, if I could, you mentioned earlier with the offensive play call, you're going through a process. What do you need to see to make a final decision?
We're going through a process. Simple as that.
Okay. It's just a little bit of an unusual situation for us that have watched you guys before. And so,
I mean, what do you want me to do?
I guess we're just looking for a little clarity as to why we're seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah. Going through a process.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
What do you want me to do? Well, we're just trying to get some clarity. Well, good for you. Great.
He really he comes off as disgruntled husband in this. It's hysterical. This is one of his finest performances.
I mean,
what the hell do you want me to do about it?
What do you want me to do about it? Well, we're just trying to get some clarity. Well, great. Good for you.
Great. Good for you.
My God, what was the one in the first one? What was the
Don't worry about it.
Don't you worry about that. Priceless. All right. Back to your phones here, as promised, on Agenda Free Friday with Murray and McCarthy. Everything being on the board. How about our buddy Tom in Quincy as a Sox thought? Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, you know, I agree with everything Matt just said about the Sox situation with Bloom, but this thing last night with this one win, series win, whatever the hell they called it, how pathetic and petty it is that the Sox as an organization actually reached out to Elias Sports Bureau to make sure that it was a series win. Do you know who does that? Loser franchises do that. The Kansas City Royals would be like, dude, we need someone to say we have a series win against a division opponent. The fact that they are so fixated on being able to say that they have one effing win against the AL East halfway through August is humiliating for Red Sox, that team. It is great.
I'll stop you. It's humiliating. And this, I don't forget, Hardy said it earlier. The Sox had to call the Elias Sports Bureau to clarify that technically that one game makeup constituted a series, so they could say they had a series win against the AL East. The Sox did that.
Him and McCone were discussing it as part of a segment, Do You Care? So, yes, I'm taking his word for this, that, yeah, they're the ones that reached out and were like, please, please do us a solid and say we've actually completed a series win over one of our divisional rivals, please. It really, my whole life, I always say about the Red Sox, no one gets in the way of the Red Sox like the Boston Red Sox. And this is further proof of it. And how about this, too? So I'm reading for Peter Abraham here, tweeted a couple of hours ago. Pedro Martinez, who obviously was very outspoken about this team's front office, Pedro and Hein Bloom seated in the grandstand behind home dugout at Fenway having a conversation. Gee, I wonder how that was going. Heim saying to Pedro, please stop saying mean things about me on television. It makes me look bad in front of John Henry. Pretty please. And it's probably Pedro being like, so you're a whiny bitch. Shut up. Get in the batter's box so I can buzz you.
No, seriously, that is Hein Bloom groveling. There's no doubt about it. Sean and Lawrence has a Bruins thought for us. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Fergal. So obviously they got Bergeron and Krejci back. And if they hadn't, they had literally zero answer at center whatsoever. But now even next year, because I assume this is going to be Bergeron's and Krejci's last year in the NHL period, I don't want to give credit to Sweeney for anything because I can't stand him, but do you think part of the rationale in re-signing Bergeron and Krejci is that if they are horrible come January 2nd, that at least they can get something back to potentially build on at the center position, because once they're gone, we have absolutely nothing?
You bet. So Bergeron got a full no movement. I don't know about Krejci. I bet he did. Most of these guys get no movement clauses. That doesn't mean you can't trade them. If they're willing to be traded and waive the clause, you can still move them. I'd like to think if they're way, way out of it, they will sell those guys. They'll be good rentals for someone out there. The thing is, though, it's not like you're going to trade Bergeron for a good young center. Any team that is going to trade for Bergeron thinks they have a chance at the Cup, but is not going to trade you a good young player. I mean, unless he's super young, unless he's like a 19-year-old prospect or something like that. So maybe, I don't know, I don't know what the only shot that they're going to be decent at center, and I say the first two center spots, like legit 1-2 centers in 2 years, not this year, but the year after, is if they swing a trade. But not for a 19-year-old prospect, for a ready-made NHL center who slots into that top six. It's the only way they're going to get it, because it's not in their system, and Coyle or whoever else, Stanika, whoever else they have, Zaka is not that guy. Tommy's in Lynn on the Pats. Hi, Tommy.
What's up, boys? This is what I'm going to say about the Patriots. The wide receiver Thornton, the rookie kid, like his first touchdown. Now there's going to be some wide receivers fighting for the job now. Nelson Aguilar's job. Is he going to get traded? And if he does get traded and they do trade him, the Patriots need a linebacker. They do need a linebacker.
Okay, Tommy, I'm going to stop you. They're not going to get anything back for Nelson Aguilar. They got a bag of footballs.
Couldn't the Packers use him, Mike? They have, like, the worst depth chart at that position. Yes. In the league.
Yes. I'd take him. You bet. You'd have to eat some of the money. Well, I don't care about the money. I mean, all I'm saying is that's all the Pats would be looking for, is someone to take his contract, and no one will. No one will take his contract. Especially because if the Pats cut him, the Pats are on the hook for the money and you get him for free.
Yeah, right.
So everyone's just sort of sitting, waiting there for him to be cut loose, and then you get him, you know, with all that offset language. So I think the Pats are stuck with him. Their only path is if they swallow some money and then move him. But I still don't think you get anything for him. How about Tim in Rhode Island on the Red Sox? Go ahead, Tim.
One thing I got to say about the Red Sox is that if ownership's going to think we're dumb and stupid and that I can go to a game and see Verdugo batting .308 in International League play, that's going to get me excited. The fact that ownership thinks I'm dumb enough as a fan to go to the game and look at that scoreboard and see this lineup and show me batting average and statistics that's not even regular season play is the ultimate sign of manipulation, and this ownership group needs to go.
So wait a minute. You didn't mean international play. You meant interleague play.
Correct. All the stats they have during the game against the Braves on Wednesday, I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
They're telling me, with two batters on, you're batting 290. I look at my own phone. This team stinks. 308. No one's batting over.
All right. So hold on. So what he's saying is that they're jerry-rigging the stats to find a category in which the guy's strong in and throwing that number up there as opposed to just his season-long batting average. Is that true, McTakey?
Yeah, I mean, based on my experience going to Fenway Park, I mean, they always find some kind stat to put up there. I don't think
sounds
that's
like
unique
them.
To Fenway, though. Oh, yes, of course it sounds like Fenway, but I don't think that's unique to just the Red Sox. I bet you every team around the league finds some kind statistic to put in the little blurb section of the scoreboard.
Rocco and Saugus has a thought on Brady. Go ahead, Rocco. Rocco.
He's not finishing up push-ups or getting out of the shower.
He's not out of the shower yet. Okay. Got to go back in that steamy mess there, Rocco. We got Stephen Peabody on the Boston Red Sox. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Mike, did I see you last week at the concert at the Garden?
No.
Barry Manilow. Were you there? Okay.
No.
Listen, a couple of weeks ago, you were breaking Hein Boone's balls that he couldn't get to Houston, and you said you had different ways you could. Come on, don't be silly. You can't even put Nesson Plus on your computer and stream it without asking your daughter.
True. No, it's true. I can't stream Jack. It's true. I can't figure out any of this stuff.
But I've seen you drive, and so I'll vouch for you here. When you got to get somewhere, you're getting there.
But I will, Steve, I can't remember the caller's name. Caller,
yes,
I will tell you this now. Steve, I will tell you this now. Listen to this. Write it down. Take it to the bank. No one does point A to point B better than me. No one. And I'm talking about no one in my social class, in my economic class. In other words, I don't have a private jet. I don't have private jet access or, you know, helicopters. So like the billionaires who've got private jets to the helicopter, to the landing pad at their home. All right. They got me. Okay. I'm talking about guys in my economic stratosphere. In my economic stratosphere, but whatever. If we're talking about guys with similar finances to me, you give me a guy with similar finances to me and tell me and him to get from point A to point B, I will beat him every time. I don't care who that person is. So that's right, but you're right. I can't log in and watch a game to stream worth my life.
I think your driving skills might be the thing I respect about you the most. If you can drive and terrify your wife and act like there's no laws, I respect that. And you drive that way.
Murray, you saw the surface road trip from Manhattan Beach back to downtown L.A. in drive time traffic and rush hour traffic with a professional pilot sitting in the back seat, me telling him how to drive. He's like a professional driver, too, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like a race car driver. I'm, like, bragging to him about how I'm driving. But you saw it. It's legit.
I mean, the GPS said, like, 2.25. We made it there in an hour, I think. It was
Thank
wild.
You. Thank you. Okay, point A to point B.
I would just suggest, though, maybe you're not even the best person on this show because Murray and I were coming from the exact same place today. I made it here, no problem. Murray's in Dorchester.
Yeah,
so
true.
You know what? Maybe I'm the most elite driver on this show. I won't say
you guys
maybe. I would say yes, I will. Yes.
You guys took off at Melrose?
Yeah, we golfed near me, but, you know, he I had things to do first.
I did a little jaunt
to get some lunch, Murray, and you know what? I just managed to avoid it.
Wow! You both left from the same place at the same time?
Well, I mean...
No, not at the same time. I might have left a little bit earlier. I had to go get lunch.
Either way.
Maybe the lunch took me on a better path.
I liked Murray bailing out and going to Dorchester. He still showed some savvy there. Meanwhile, here's an update from McCarthy. Back to your phones in a final segment right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is. 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
So you want to be an OC?
The competition show that'll help find the new offensive coordinator of the Patriots. Featuring Matt Patricia.
Matt, how would you beat cover three?
The primary weaknesses on cover three are the seams and the flats. That's how I attack it.
And Joe Judge.
Joe, what would be your plan to improve the player, the quarterback?
Well, the only way Mac is going to get better is if he gets a union construction job and learns about blue-collar toughness.
That was Murray's bit, like, 3 months ago?
In March, I believe it was, yeah.
It's a little something he put together when Mike Reese reported that there could be something of an open competition between Patricia and Judge, never believing we'd get to the first preseason game, and it might have been something of an open competition between Patricia and Judge. And I really think it's more about they're grooming Judge and Patricia's holding the fort until Judge is ready. But either way, that's where we are. We'll finish up with your phone calls here, Murray and Matt McCarthy and Felger on a agenda-free Friday. How about Rick in Seattle? What do you got for us, Rick?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So first of all, you're way too hard on Ad Jonesy. You got to just leave him alone sometimes. But Field of Dreams game, I just happened to catch it right as the players were getting announced and they're coming out of those corn husks. I just want a quick take on that. I got the douche chills. I thought it was totally overplayed and just, I don't know, something about it just felt really weird. I felt like Chewbacca was going to come out of there. Quick thoughts on that. Thanks, guys.
Sure. So go ahead.
I actually have a take on this. So because MLB never ceases to amaze me with their stupidity, game moving at a glacial pace, constant labor issues that piss people off. We all know the issues. But that they play this Field of Dreams game at a time when football is starting blows my mind. I didn't know that this thing happened again, and I'd actually be interested in it if you actually played it at a time where nothing else is going on, like, oh, I don't know, the middle of July, you idiots. So they did this last year, and I only remember it from the highlights because the thing ended like it was scripted in Hollywood. It was Tim Anderson that hit the walk-off. And so, I don't know, I actually, look, I'm a guy that baseball's kind of turned off, so if you want to win me back, put this at a time when there's nothing else happening, not football, not when football's starting.
Yeah, Jim, it should be a week earlier. I will say there were only two preseason football games last night. One of them was here, and actually this happened last year, too, where the Field of Dreams game was on at the same time as the first Patriots preseason game. It's got to be a TV thing. I would have pushed this thing a week earlier. It's worked out for Fox, though. I mean, last year was the most watched regular season baseball game in something like close to 20 years. They did good numbers last night, too. So obviously they wanted it this time, and it seems to be working out for Fox. But, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I wish it were a week earlier, too.
So I didn't see the game. I did catch a little bit of it last year. I'm just so opposed to the whole thing because I think Field of Dreams has to be the douchiest, corniest, most overrated movie in the history of cinema. I just think it's I hated it when I saw it. I hated it every time it's come up since. Don't get me started on the thing. Like I've had 10-minute rants on the thing. It's just so trite, so corny, so hackneyed. I mean, it's just, oh my God, there's one douchebag in that movie after the next. Only, you know, the James Earl Jones monologue is the only thing that's worth it in that whole movie. And how corny is that thing? But it's just the worst, most corniest movie ever. And so they're going to make a game based on a fictional, douchey, awful movie. Like, I just, and then this is what I saw that Do You Care or Not segment with Hardy. I had the sound down on the TV. And I didn't understand why they were putting up pictures of Harry Carey. And now I come to understand they had Harry Carey in the box as a hologram.
Oh, I hate much. Yeah. Oh, I hate the idea. I hate the idea of holograms. Mike, they've done this at like Coachella. They brought out Tupac, who's been long dead, as a hologram. But kids today, yes, this is me yelling at the clouds. They love it. They eat it up. Oh, he's back. He's not. It's fake. You're watching a video game.
You couldn't be more right about this. There's nothing I hate more than holograms. Listen. I just hate to say it. When you're dead, you're dead. When you're dead, you're dead. And when I'm dead, I'll be dead. Don't bring me back as a hologram. It's the last thing I want. Let me rest in peace, for the love of God. Let me burn in hell. I'll be there. I'll see you there, Murray. I know that. Don't bring me back as a hologram.
Holograms.
So stupid.
Holograms. Oh, my God. I can't even I can't even comment on it. This is why. I'm surprised they haven't done one with Garcia yet. like given the, you know, the godlike reverence with which we treat him and consider him. But like that's a natural. I couldn't bear to see that. The holograms. What is wrong with you people?
And Mike, the record companies and a lot of the promoters, they're for this. They think because they pack houses in Japan with these kind of things. There's hologram concerts with like things that aren't even real. It's real musicians. You don't see them, but you see these characters that are beloved in Japan, and they bang out these stadiums.
Well, so I've heard it's ABBA does it, but they're all alive, right? So they're doing.
I don't know. Or maybe they're just like old and gross now, so that's why they don't go out and do it.
All right, so but there's something about bringing someone back from the dead like that. That's just like,
it's just creepy.
Jeremy in the car, what do you got on the Red Sox?
Hi, Belga, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? What do you got?
I'm good. I just want to talk about Jaron Duran. I mean, he misplaced three balls against the Royals. He gave a inside the park home run to Grand Slam, actually, to Ramel Tapia when we lost 28-5. So, and I just want to know your thoughts. Like, shouldn't he be moved down to the majors? I mean, to the minors.
Oh my God, he should have moved to the minors as soon as he gave up on that Grand Slam inside the park home run and quit on it. Should have been moved right then and there. I haven't paid attention the last couple nights. Is he still out there every night?
Oh, yeah, he's playing every single night. He is your starting center fielder for the Boston Red Sox, despite the fact that he is clearly, how shall I say it, not a major league center fielder, not even close to it. But they'll just keep trotting him out there at Heim's orders.
So that thing's a freaking embarrassment. That's embarrassing. 617-779-0985. Couple minutes left, couple open lines if you want to jump on. Valerie in the car. Hi, Valerie.
Oh, hey, guys. I didn't think you'd take my call. Okay. So I'm going to the aquarium tomorrow, and then afterwards I'm going to the Red Sox game. So I wanted to know, what would you guys rather do? Would you rather go to the aquarium or the Red Sox game? And if your answer is the aquarium, I want to know what fish you're most excited to see.
Oh, it's not the fish. It's clearly the aquarium. I try to go every few years. I love that place. It's the penguins.
Penguins! I was just going to say, the penguins!
Yeah, the rock hoppers. They're adorable, and they're so fun. Like, that's why you go to the Boston Aquarium, is to see the little adorable penguins.
And horrible take, Murray. Horrible take. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Felger.
No, you go.
Okay, horrible take. It's the otters, and I can't find them when I go to the New England Aquarium, so I'm out on the New England Aquarium. I went to the Oregon Coast Aquarium once. They had the most adorable otters of all time. I would rather go to the Red Sox game, but if you give me a choice between otters and Red Sox, give me otters any day of the week. They are even more adorable than penguins.
So I'm going to the Red Sox game because I'm a incurable freaking sports dork. So I'm going to the Red Sox game, but I'm probably not making it all 4 hours. That's the beauty. That's the only reason you'd go to the aquarium over the Red Sox. You can leave in 25 minutes,
right?
And you can get on with your day. You can still be have your little fix of what you came for, and then leave. Those baseball games, you're there, and you can't leave. Sal in Groton. Speaking of the Red Sox, go ahead, Sal.
This occurred to me during the David Ortiz induction in the Hall of Fame, and it relates to whether or not the Red Sox are going to sign Bogarts, Devers, and any future stars, is that fans become fanatical not for laundry. They don't go to games and buy merchandise and food and be fanatical for laundry. They do that for stars like Ortiz or, you know, name any of the other, you know, Manny, whatever. It's like, ask any pink hat what's going on with the Red Sox right now. They don't know. They don't care. The Red Sox are going to lose pink hats if they haven't already, and they're going to lose a fanatical fan base. And all they're going to have is a bunch of tourists going to Fenway and old people dying in front of the TV.
Right. That's a little harsh, I would say. I mean, I don't know how you guys view it. I do root for teams over players. I mean, like, I'm just trying to give it real world. If Giannis went to the Knicks, I wouldn't root for Giannis with the Knicks. I'd still be a Bucks fan. So I don't know do younger people treat it differently?
Matt, you're younger. I mean,
yeah, I would say that I root for laundry over players, except for Tom Brady, because he's only the greatest player in the history of the NFL and gave me so much joy as a fan growing up. But no, I root for laundry. But can't those two work together? Like, I want to root for the Red Sox because they have star players, because the Red Sox should have star players. Like, it's okay for you as a fan to say, wait a minute, hold on. They had Mookie Betts. They traded him for nothing. They have Xander Bogarts. They're going to let him walk for nothing. They have Rafael Devers. They're going to probably trade him, most likely for nothing, because Chaim Bloom can't evaluate talent from other organizations in big deals like this, clearly based on Mookie Betts, clearly based on Hunter Renfrow, clearly based on Andrew Benintendi. So it's okay for you to say, I want the Red Sox to sign my favorite player. That's all right. I feel that way, and I think most fans feel that way, too. Doesn't mean that I'm going to never root for the Red Sox again if they don't sign Xander Bogaerts. I'll be pissed. I'll be upset. He's my favorite player on the Red Sox, but doesn't mean I'm not going to be a Red Sox fan anymore. I'm just going to be pissed with the team, which I generally am most of the time, because you know what? That's what being a Red Sox fan is.
Brady's the outlier for me. I mean, I typically, yeah, it's laundry over the player, but Brady was just so special that, you know, it's different.
Ron in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Yeah, Chris Sale has an opt-out at the end of the year. You think there's any way in hell he'll exercise it and re-sign for a cheaper thing, because he's always bitching about how much he's getting money for nothing?
Oh, yeah, no, how guilty he is about he just wants to get out there and prove himself and prove the contract. So it's a good point by the caller. If he really wants to live by that, he can opt out and sign back for less and give him exactly what he's, you know, let them pay him exactly what he's given him.
And, yeah, John Tomasi wrote a column about this, too, because, again, he does put your money where your mouth is, literally. Yeah, give some of that money back. You're not living up to this contract, so give some back to the Red Sox. He won't, though, because he's a fraud.
What do you make of the Chris Sale thing from the week, McCarthy? Were you on with us one of those days? I can't remember, or not.
Yeah, I was on with you on Tuesday. I mean, it's a joke at this point. I mean, this guy is one of the more unreliable players I can remember in Boston sports memory, you know, at least in recent memory. It's also probably the worst contract the Red Sox have ever handed out. And none of it's a fluke. None of it's an accident. Stop saying he's unlucky. For whatever reason, this guy keeps putting himself into positions where he gets hurt, or there's something mysterious going on, like when he broke his foot with the White Sox, or when he broke his rib throwing a baseball. Has that ever happened?
No, because that's not what really happened. It was a lie. This is,
of course.
This is the thing with this. And so someone brought up a good point on social media the other day. So we've all seen this like horrible explosion that happened in Indiana, killed three people. It was like a deadly house explosion. A Ring camera from like five blocks away picked up video of that house exploding. And you mean to tell me there's no video from a Ring camera anywhere, a street camera from the police, that didn't see Chris Sale go flying over the handlebars of his bike? Because it didn't happen.
On that note, we'll hear a word from our sponsors and come back with the final word.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest price on tires, go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. A lot of discussion today on the program about traffic. Jim Murray and I were coming from the same spot. I left a couple minutes earlier than Murray because he had things to do. There was a horrible accident on 128, which means I got here. Murray got to Dorchester because he's a creative individual. Mike Felger, he's on remote too. But in the past, Felger has also had takes and thoughts on traffic, most notably pertaining to Red Sox day games and idiot parents moving their kids into college. So a good opportunity. It's a good opportunity to revisit. Sure is, Mike. Sure is. So why don't we do a little best of here?
I do love the Red Sox scheduling the afternoon game here on August 31st, because there's nothing else going on. There's no other traffic or, you know, nothing else to contend with here.
Oh, you mean like students, parents moving into town?
Oh, no. No, there's nothing going on. The streets are empty.
Yeah, it was a picnic for me to get in here today.
Or you mean
on my pogo stick.
Every mom and dad from New Jersey and some minivan there on Com Ave trying to figure out where to go. Please, mom, dad, the light's green. Go ahead. Beacon's over there. Com's over there. Okay? Move!
You know, I almost tweeted this while I was in my car. Because I wasn't moving.
Is this ComApp just Beacon Street? We can't. No, guys, it crosses in Kenmore Square. Just move. Just move. And you'll figure it out. Just don't stand there. Just don't sit there. Mom, Dad, move.
I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to.
Move.
I like to move, move it. I like to move, move it. I like to move, move it. Yeah, I like to.
Move along, Mom. Dad, go ahead.
This is anarchy.
Go back to New Jersey, guys. Back in the minivan. 90 West. We call it the mass plate, but whatever. 90 West in your minivan. Back to New Jersey. And in the meantime, if you're going to be down here, just move. Keep moving. Move. Drop your kid at the dorm and go back to Connecticut. Please. Out. So anyway, Kenmore Square, where the Red Sox are in action. So, of course, we're going to talk football.
I'm all in.
But that is the worst. It's not just Kenmore Square or there. It's just the people who don't move, like they get confused, so they just stop. No, no. The key to life, the key to everything, the key to the whole thing.
Keep it moving.
Movement. And if you're going in the wrong direction, then you're going to have to stop or ideally not stop, but just make a turn and go back around. And if
bang
you,
a Huey.
Again, Mom and Dad, if you're new, it gets a little confusing. It got us to the first time where if you're on this side of Kenmore Square, Beacon's on top of Comm Ave, and then you go to Kenmore Square, and the next thing you know, you were on Comm Ave, and now you're on Beacon, or you were on Beacon, now you're on Comm Ave. So that's going to hit you at some point. Don't stop the car. Just keep driving and figure it out. On the move. The key is movement.
And yellow means, yellow means go.
You must
not just
keep
go, Murray. Speed up.
Movement. The key to everything is movement, flow, movement. I can't stress that enough, although I just did. What do we got coming up in the baseball hour?
We have the Red Sox. We have the Yankees. It is a, I want to call it a big game, big three-game set. It should be a big three-game set, but it's not because of the decisions the Red Sox made this year and their lack of interest in the present. And I do want to talk about what happened this week with the Red Sox, because you should be frustrated as a Red Sox fan seeing a couple guys out there that could have contributed earlier on if Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox, I don't know, just cared about the present and cared about 2022. That's what we'll get into. And I will have to push back against your horrible Field of Dreams take, Mike, which we will we'll get into. Okay. Add an addendum to your take.
Nothing's like a catch with my dad. Oh, my God. His stick a finger down my throat. You know, and just, you know, no. You know what? Who was the gal? Costner's wife? It was like the 60s, man. Oh, go F yourself. It was a horrible, horrible, horrible piece of trite garbage, that movie. Does not get worse. That's that kind of movie is why I don't go to movies. For that trite garbage. Anyway,
well, then you'll just have to listen to the response. You'll have to see what I have to add to that coming up.
Have an excellent weekend, everybody. We're back at it Monday at 2. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.